There's something that's been going on around here. It's kind of been bubbling underneath the surface for the last few months, and I gotta get it off my chest. So if you don't mind, I want Triple H. Yeah, it needed to be said, because life's about choices. I made some choices some years back. I decided to put together The Shield. And we changed the face of WWE forever. And when the time was right, I had to dismantle The Shield. But that's when I learned that life's not just about choices, but it's about the consequences of the choices you make. Now, Triple H, he's also made some choices. He chose to bet against Seth Rollins. He chose to anoint Kevin Owens as his new golden boy. Last week, when I pedigreed Chris Jericho on the roof of a car, I sent a message to Triple H, because that was just the beginning. Now, I would love to stand here and call Triple H out right now. Look, but Austin, we're smarter than that. We know that's not how it works. We know that's not the kind of person Triple H is. So how do I get to Triple H? Well, it's very simple. I beat Kevin Owens and take the WWE Universal Championship.
Oh, what a long-winded way for someone to say they want a title shot. Anyway, welcome to episode 114 of European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. And on what could be a very educational episode, we have the not-so-knockout news. We'll look back at WWE TLC, and just why are W3L appearing on Judge Rinder this week? Let's start with finding out who we have on our panel. Well, he's 5'6½", and even now is still cowering from King Kendo. It's Kai.
As I say, the half always counts.
Yeah, you and that half. How are you?
I am tired, honestly, but I am looking forward to this. I'm not fully caught up on wrestling, but I've seen TLC and what a great event it was.
This could be a very interesting show, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's not go too much into detail, but I'm curious to hear some of your thoughts on how this goes down. But let's bring in the second man on the call, and it's a man who can provide some play-by-play when Kendo does finally get to mutilate Kai. It's PK.
Hi, everyone. 2 weeks in a row, first time in a while, but...
Yeah, well, it's a good thing, and let's hope that...
Definitely, and I've got some... some exciting TNT new-related news to plug tonight, so that should be fun.
Oh, so you've officially got something you can tell us now.
I have.
Good. That's what I like to hear. But we've still got one more man to bring into this call. And we've had this man on for an interview, but this week he is joining the panel from the Worldwide Wrestling League, aka W3L. We've got Mike Musso. How are you, Mike?
I am surviving. It's a busy, busy time at the moment.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot on your plate. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, but we'll get through it.
Cool. Always well, do. Before we get into the meat of the conversation we need to have with you, just give us a quick update on how things are going. Over the last couple of months, you've had Resolution 10, etc. How are things been going at W3L?
Do you know, this year has actually been a really good year for us. We've got a fantastic team, both the wrestlers that are involved, the guys that we bring in, and also our behind the scenes staff as well. That goes from Steve Wizard to our photographers, to Cage, who handles our website and stuff, which has just been nicely freshened up, by the way. Have a quick check over that. It's been really good. Really good year. Resolution sold out. Couldn't have asked for a better result than that. 492 or something like that. It was upwards in the 400 regions. Sell out. Everything's gone well. Big crowds in our Wester Hales event, our Glenn Rothes event at the Rothes Hall also did really well. The main bleachers were completely full again, about 400 in there. So generally a really positive year. There's been a lot of hard work, 30 odd dates done this year, expanding further next year. So it keeps me busy, keeps me on my toes.
And it seems that even Resolution itself wasn't without a little bit of controversy surrounding your main title.
Oh, controversy, eh?
So what can you tell us about that?
Do you know some things, some circumstances you can't plan for? That's, that's what I'll lead with. obviously, Joe Coffey won the Seven Deadly Sins tournament earlier in the year, which entitled him to face Joey Legend, the W3L heavyweight champion at the time. Legend and Coffey had a fantastic back and forth match. You know, two guys that are very much at the top of their game. I constantly tell people how impressive Legend is. People remember him from his Just Joe days in WWE. Yeah. He's actually a really, really phenomenal performer. They were wrestling back and forth. Referee gets knocked out. Stevie Wizard, who was announcing that night, the Wizard was announcing, also has a referee's license. Right. Has a bit of a beef with Legend because Legend knocked him out earlier in the year. Jumps in the ring, restarts the match after a double count out. Joe Coffey pins Legend, 1-2-3, wins the belt. Legend gets his solicitors and lawyers, all the legal team involved, and we had to reverse the decision.
Wow.
Legend still had the belt. However, no longer has the belt, as a couple of weeks later on Wrestling Showdown, Nathan Reynolds became the new W3L heavyweight champion.
Well, what an interesting turn of events.
It was a stressful turn of events.
Yes, I can imagine. Events, especially from your perspective. So, I mean, obviously, that's not the meat and bones of what we want to chat about tonight, because you've come on because this week's quite an interesting week for you. I'm imagining your stress levels are probably peaking at certain levels at the moment, especially with not just what's going on that we're about to chat about, but the spin-off effect of that. So let's get to the background of this. W3L are going to be featured on Judge Rinder this week. For anyone who doesn't know, Judge Rinder is a kind of reality-based courtroom scenario where people come in and deal with any kind of personal issues they have. It could be financial, business issues, neighborhood disputes, all that kind of thing. How have you guys got to the position where you're involved with Judge Rinder? Where did this all start?
There was an unfortunate situation some time ago where Ewan G. Mackey, who is quite a scary-looking professional wrestler, despite small stature, the get-up with the mask and the sort of creepy skullet, I think you could call it, the green hair. And we've had a few people say before that he's a bit on the scary side for the younger fans at our shows.
Yeah.
For some reason, Ewan felt it was appropriate to respond to a child who pulled his tutu. Never thought I would say that sentence.
There's a phrase. What happened?
Pulled Ewan's tutu, and Ewan responded to it by picking the child up and removing him from his seat, putting him down at the top of the bleacher, and then walking away. Child wasn't harmed physically, but in my opinion, the opinion of the hall, the opinion of the parents, it was a completely inappropriate action, regardless of whether the child had pulled his tutu or not. You can't go picking, you can't go touching any fans. This isn't like back in the 80s when you know a wrestler gets tapped on the shoulder by a fan and the wrestler can take his head off. For better or for worse, society's moved on since then. And then you involve it being a minor. You're actually looking at a very... We were extremely lucky to get away from that situation with retaining the relationship with our hall, which is one of our biggest halls. I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to involve them in this whole scenario any further than they already have.
Sure.
And also for us as a promotion and for Ewan as an individual.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the family were extremely understanding. Mm-hmm. They did make a complaint and they were extremely happy with our response to the complaint, our assurances that this was not our policy for any wrestlers to touch the child. And I'll make it clear, he did not harm the child. I don't want to paint him out to be something he's not. But he picked the child up. So he made contact with the child. So it's not our policy. It's completely against anything that we want to happen or would advise a wrestler to behave. We compensated them in terms of a refund, in terms of a goodie bag for the kid, made sure that the kid got to meet the wrestlers and all that kind of stuff. And thankfully, the family accepted that at face value and didn't pursue the situation any further. But I think, as a businessman, it terrified me. And on a personal level, I was just really happy in terms of our reputation, etc., that the family weren't going to push it any further than they did, because that could have been painted to be not just as bad as the situation was, but if they wanted to twist that, that situation could have been painted out to be a lot, lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent myself, I know how my instant reaction would be in that circumstance, a wrestler pulling my child out from the crowd, even just that moment. It'd be quite distressing. It'd be distressing for the child, not knowing what on earth's going on, especially if it is a kind of more scary character. And it would really kind of set the tone for a lot of displeasure, a lot of unhappiness, and I certainly would object to myself. I'm just going to bring the guys.
Imagine my surprise. So yeah. Obviously there's a consequence to this. There has to be. He jeopardised our entire business by his actions. So he's suspended. There's no questions about it. We have to investigate this fully. We have to see if there's going to be any further ramifications. Mm-hmm. He's suspended. I think that's a completely fair response. Imagine my surprise when I get a call from ITV saying that he would like to take W3L to court for amounts, monies due to him, like a cancellation fees for bookings that we'd cancelled on him as a result of this incident.
Yeah, well, I know what I'd be saying. I certainly would be most pleased myself if that was the case. Let me just quickly chat to the guys a wee second here. Kai, I'm going to bring you in. You've spent a lot of time watching Fight Factory wrestling shows. Have you ever seen anything similar to this go down there?
I haven't, and it is a very it's a very child-friendly orientated company, is Fight Factory Wrestling, and for every event that I've been to over the past 15 months or so, it's always been a point of, and I do know Dutch, who runs the company on a personal level, I know that he has, I wouldn't want to put words in his mouth, but I would believe that he is on the same level as yourself, Mike, where you can scare people. There is a thing about heels, the bad guys in wrestling, they can go off and they can't. Their reason is to be the bad guys and to get heat and to scare people in the audience at times. But there is a line and you need to know where that line is. And to be honest, my opinion there is the line is where the audience are sat. Don't get physically involved with the fact.
I'm just going to jump to PK quickly, and obviously it's a totally different scenario in the likes of TNT, but have you ever seen anything like this go down anywhere?
I've seen it close, and I'm quite lucky in the fact that the companies I work for, Fight Club Pro and TNT, it's very much an adult crowd, and the people are in there, they've paid the money. If they get involved and the wrestlers give them a shove out the way or whatever, then that's fair enough. They're big enough and ugly enough to look after themselves. But when it comes to, I've been to Future Shock shows in the past, and there's one particular Future Shock venue that they run that it's a very casual crowd, even more so than the standard Future Shock venue. And they let the kids run around, ragged the parents. They've basically just gone for a quiet night, and they just say, oh, kids can go off. And they have gotten in the way and nearly been taken out by the wrestlers. And my heart's been in my throat. And that, you can place the blame on the parents not looking after, not making sure the children are safe and secure. But when the child's actually in the seat, it's a completely different kettle of fish altogether. Yep. Again, there's something that we said that the parents should have said, don't do that.
Absolutely,
because
yeah.
I've spoken to you and myself in the past, and he's an odd duck, to say the least. So you don't know how he's going to react to that sort of thing.
Does it surprise you that he went there, though?
It doesn't, I'll be honest. Just I've only interacted with him on a few occasions, and I was lucky enough to interview him for another podcast I've done. Even if you follow him on social media, he's very, he knows what he is. He knows what he likes, what he needs to do for himself. And that's the drum he marches to. So if anyone does interact with him that way, it doesn't surprise me that it happened. But there's definitely a 50-50 between Ewan going too far and then the parents should have basically just rein the child in a little bit.
Right, okay, now Mike, coming back to you then. So you and suspended, ITV have been in touch. Where does this go from there?
Okay, I mean, here you're faced with a situation. You deal with this legally away from national television.
Yeah.
Or you accept the offer and deal with it legally on national television. To me, there's very positive publicity. I think we've handled ourselves like any professional company would in terms of dealing with it, pulling the wrestler immediately from the cards. I had a long chat with ITV about how we would be portrayed and my concerns that do I really want this situation aired on television. And like, well, it'd be made clear that you actually reacted to this by removing the wrestler completely from your product. You'll have a chance to, you know, to assure everybody that this isn't what they can expect when they come to your events. And the big positive is it's going to put your product on a national platform. You know, it's advertising. We're in a business. We're trying to sell tickets. We're trying to generate interest. And if we can get people from outside the realm of people that already know about us to be like, oh, there's a wrestling company there, and you know, they're based in Scotland or they're wherever. You know, they even, you know, they asked where we toured, and I got to give them the sort of the drop a few areas that we visit, so people sitting at home might be like, oh, I'll check them out. You know, we might get extra business from it.
Fingers crossed.
Well, that would be the plan. The other thing as well is ITV obviously recently filmed the ITV pilot. That's something else that was discussed, you know, when they were explaining how they would look after it. They don't want to paint us out in a bad light. They've got this project on the go. It's the same production team. A lot of people don't know that. It's filmed in the same studio. It's the same producers. You know, obviously the ITV pilot went very well. They're talking about doing a series. As a wrestler myself, I'd love to be involved in it because, again, exposure, you know, you wouldn't want to be involved in something on national television, you know, doing what you've set out to do in your career. So there was a few things that we needed to be cautious of, but they convinced me that it would be a positive experience to go on the show, and it would be positive publicity that came from it. So far, the reach on social media has been really impressive. Some of the posts regarding it have got reach of something like 12,000, whereas like if we put for an episode of Showdown, the reach of the social media post attached to it would maybe be 400 to 600 on an average week. It spikes now and again if something exciting's happened, or it dips if it's, you know, just a bad week or what have you. So the decision was made, we're gonna go on this, and we're gonna do this show and take reasonable precautions to protect our reputation. And I don't see anything but positivity coming from it. You can't control what happens in the edit room, although they've kept in contact with me since we filmed. You know, you don't have anything written down on paper. They're not going to show this, they are going to show that, but there's a level of trust there, and I'm confident that it's going to put our company and our business across in a good light.
At the same time, we're also aware they are trying to put a TV program, they are trying to create an audience, they are trying to get some cultivated interest, so it's up to them really how they play that out.
Let's talk about the TV program for a second. A few comments have been made that their program is staged,
right?
I had to provide so much in terms of evidence for them, for their legal team to check over, so that if they were ever investigated as presenting themselves as, you know, genuine cases and it not being genuine cases, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. But they would be able to turn around and say, well, no, this all happened. They saw emails between us and the venue, emails between us and the customer. They've spoken to the family involved. They had to get evidence of our shows that Ewan was scheduled on. So that this is a genuine dispute. And a lot of people don't realise, you know, that about the show, because obviously they present the show to get viewers in the name of entertainment. They want quirky cases. You know, getting two next door neighbours on arguing about whether they can build a wall or not is not going to make for good television.
No, absolutely. There has to be something substantial and worthwhile for them to put it out.
Exactly. And the whole experience was very positive when we were actually there filming the show.
Okay, so, I mean, from there...
Separate hotel rooms, might I add. Separate hotel rooms. They didn't want any violence breaking out in the hotel lobby.
That kind of makes sense.
What's he going to do? Spray mist in my face, maybe? I don't know.
Anything's possible. Obviously, for contractual reasons, you can't discuss really what happened on the show, but did Ewan drop any surprises on you? Or did he play it pretty straight down the middle?
No, he behaved exactly how I would expect Ewan Mackey to be. For better or for worse. For those that have followed Ewan and know about him, read into that what you will, but I'm sure you'll see it on television on Friday.
Okay, now, off the back of that, you were talking about, you know, the social media reach of this. It's been getting a bit of attention, but it seems to have been getting a bit of negative attention as well.
Yeah, we've exposed the business. Ruined it.
Ruined it.
Brother. You're
bringing it down.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so how does this come about? I suppose you can't really say who's accused you, but how does someone accuse you of bringing down the business?
It's not that I can't say, it's that I don't want to say, because I don't want to make this personal. And one of the ringleaders in it, I really respect that individual. I've met them several times. You know, thought we don't know each other well enough to class as friends, but, you know, but always very pleasant. You know, and again, it's somebody that's more experienced than me, and I have a lot of respect for what they've accomplished. I don't want to get involved in needless mudslinging, but I will defend ourselves against comments that I don't really feel are valid. The phrase "exposed the business" has been thrown about by several people. Confused, first of all, it's not even aired yet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know what the previous episode that involved wrestlers was like or what was discussed. I can't comment on that. That wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. But I don't know how something can be judged as exposing the business if it's not aired. That's my first concern. And these are pretty vicious comments. These aren't a polite, oh, I don't really think this is a good idea. It may expose the business. There's some profanities involved and we're being pretty heavily slaughtered verbally by certain individuals. What do they mean by exposing the business? I'm not even going to explain.
It's funny because that was my next question.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming I know what they mean. And I'm not even going to explain it because I actually feel that strongly about not, quote, exposing the business, that I don't like putting it out on a podcast, talking in depth about it. If you look at my social media, none of my posts expose the business. I talk in a certain way to particularly avoid doing that. But wink, wink, nudge, nudge, for those that click what that probably means, there was an article in the Daily Record this week. I mean, we've been really tried to capitalize this on as much as possible. I'm a promoter. I'm trying to promote. I'm trying to attract business. So the Daily Record have been involved. And one of the quotes in there had the only thing that I could possibly connect to this expose the business conference where I talk about Yoon's scary persona.
Right.
In the courtroom, I specifically say, in fact, I can't go and quote it, but I say a similar quote where I refer to a persona. Conor McGregor has a persona. I'm pretty sure he doesn't behave like that at Christmas dinner. You know, I've stressed when talking to the media that wrestling is an athletic contest between two people. However, we need to market it towards an audience. So in doing so, the wrestlers that are competing in the ring need to be larger than life personalities in order to sell themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that extent, is Finn Balor exposing this business by using his demon character?
He's not really a demon?
Well, that's the question mark, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what you're trying to suggest there, but...
but, you know...
I'm confused.
It creates that air of question mark.
You know, I'm not going to slander the Easter Bunny, you know? put it that way. And a lot of people just haven't... It seems like people have just jumped to this big conclusion that we've done something that we actually haven't done. Funny story, I was once in a dressing room and the announcer for that show thought it was acceptable to allow some fans in that were looking for autographs. Just opened the door and said, they're in here, guys, come on in. And that fan saw me leathering the guy that I'd wrestled that night because we'd obviously been disagreed again. We'd had another argument in the dressing room and that's what he saw when he opened the door. You know, I'm just that's a true story. It kind of hurts me to be accused of these things when I go to such extremes to really try and not do those things. Can you get where I'm coming from?
Absolutely. No, totally. Okay, so kind of following on from that, again, just to bring the guys back into play, I'm going to start with PK. What's your feelings on the whole situation here regarding the alleged exposing of the business?
I can see where some of the individuals are coming from in some respect. However, as Mike said, the ITV have treated it very seriously. It's been treated as a court case with evidence and a genuine grievance brought forward. And yes, so it originated from a wrestling show. All sorts can originate from a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm. Wrestling event, brother.
Wrestling event, sorry. When you look at, even as Finn Balor being one example, but the WWE are exposing the wrestling business more and more. Look at when Seth Rollins came back. They did that big whole WWE 24 special about him, talk about how much he overcame, made him really sympathetic, and then the next 2 days later on Raw, he's being a dick again. Because that's the role he was playing at that time. But it's like any form of entertainment. The people don't expect a soap actor to be that character as they walk down the street.
Yeah, absolutely. You also take it into, could you say, for example, on Sunday night during Talking Smack, was Alexa Bliss you know, breaking character, allegedly, quote unquote, by breaking down in tears over her championship win on Sunday night at TLC. You know, does that start to raise questions of allegedly exposing the business because she's not being the
wrestling.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
The way I looked at that was she was actually still a lot in character, but they basically asked her a question. She gave a genuine answer to that question. Then when they brought up Becky Lynch, then she stepped back. You know, why you? This is my moment. Why are you talking about that? So that to me wasn't her quote unquote breaking character. That was just her having a genuine reaction to winning the title and then being asked a question that she didn't like.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of one of the things I'm trying to get here is when you actually look at what happens in the real world, people, you know, when they're in different environments can respond and react in different ways. It's not necessarily a persona, not necessarily a character, but it can come across as that.
Yeah,
Kai,
definitely.
Kai, I bring you in here and I just wanted to kind of get your feelings on this kind of stage of the conversation.
Yeah, I love the term expose the business in that there is half of it you sort of respond and go, what is there to expose? And then the other half is, well, what can you expose that hasn't been exposed already? And
right, okay.
If that makes sense, because there is a, you know, I'm training as an actor now, and I will go and I'm doing a theatre for young audiences piece, and I am going to be on stage in a persona as a bluebird, and I will be meeting the children afterwards, and I will be speaking to them, and I am a bluebird because that is my persona, and the thing about wrestling is it's very much built on reality. And there is that blurred line that I think should always be there in many, many respects. And and when you talk about the word persona, like you say, Conor McGregor has a persona. That doesn't mean that you're saying anything about the business of professional wrestling. We have personas. Mm-hmm. We don't sit here. Like, I do radio nearly 7 days a week now. You know, we do this podcast every week. And we don't sit at home and talk like this and try and make conversation all the time with everyone around you and do like a panel show. No, you have a normal conversation with silences and you don't keep talking for 2 hours. That's
you stop to dip your biscuit in your tea and watch the TV and things like that.
Yeah, and sometimes there has to be separation from that. But like there are personas in every industry. And if people don't believe that, then I'm really not sure where to start with them.
Right, Mike, so bring it back to you. At this point, is there anything you really want to say to these people that are bringing these accusations or slinging any kind of mud in your direction about this?
Do you know, I would like to invite people to speak to me on a personal level if they have concerns, especially if they know me, you know?
Yeah.
Drop me a message. I don't think anybody could argue that I'm not very approachable. You know, I would love to have had the chance to sort of say, well, this is my thinking behind it. This is why we've gone down this route. And if you're worried about X, Y, and Z, here's my response to it. But everybody seems to just kind of get so easily worked up in wrestling. I mean, these people said that what we've done by going on Judge Rinder is disrespectful. Like, I'm running a business here, and I'm having to worry about on the back of it. I mean, I thought about, right, what are people going to get upset about, you know, before we did this, and we kind of made provisions for it. And even when you make provisions, you've still got everybody either, you know, some people, I'm not saying connecting this to any specific individuals, but some people be a jealousy thing or an anger thing because they believe one way and this has happened another way, or they've had a previous experience, so they view the world through that lens from the previous experience and think that anything remotely like it should be treated the same way. This isn't. This is what it is. This is its own thing. There's a genuine incident. It's going to play out on ITV. We've protected our business. I make my living off professional wrestling. Why on earth would I want to jeopardize that in any way? It's
absolutely.
It's crazy. Say what you want about me, but no one's going to call me stupid. You know, or people might, but they wouldn't be able to prove it. You know, it's just, to me, it's just very kind of disheartening, really, when you see some, you know, people that you would hope would at least speak to you on a personal level rather than slandering you on the internet. And part of me, because I care about the business so much, I would be upset to think that I have caused any kind of damage to it. You know, this is a business I've dedicated my life to. I always find it funny as well. No other industry do people constantly refer to what they do as the business. It's some lingo that we use. And speaking of that, is it not exposing the business, talking about exposing the business on social media anyway?
Maybe right there.
I'm maybe getting a bit pedantic there. I don't want to take any cheap digs. I'm just having a bit of fun by throwing that out there. But, you know, something that I did have in my notes that I thought was really interesting is, and again, because everybody gets upset so easily, I'll say, firstly, I think the work that Mark Dallas and ICW have done, creating their product and their brand and pushing it to the heights they've done, is absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to start by saying that, and that this is not a criticism in any way. This is simply anecdotal. Yeah. They did that thing for BBC. It was a documentary about sort of behind the scenes, and I can't remember all the ins and outs of it, but I can't remember whether they exposed the business brother or not. But I know that they did show the violence involved, and they showed, you know, the guys drinking and stuff like that. Some of the language was a bit inappropriate. So again, it worked for them. You could not criticize any of their decisions because every move they've made has been successful for them. Well done, guys. And I'm really, you know, I know a few of the guys involved personally, and I'm really happy to see the success that they've had. But as a promoter, I didn't say this on social media at the time and cause a big stink about it. But as a promoter, I'm thinking, God, this is going to be on national television. Yeah. Are people going to see my posters and think, I'm not going to take the kids to that. Did you see them on BBC? They're tearing each other apart with barbed wire, and they're looking.
Yeah.
You can twist anything to say this is going to be negative. But do you know what damage it caused? None. No damage whatsoever. I had
concerns. If anything, it brought extra eyes to their product.
Yeah, it did. And there was a risk attached to it. The risk is exactly what I just said. There was a risk. They didn't have, maybe they did, maybe they saw the edit and they had something in the contract that they had to, they were able to approve it and remove scenes and stuff. So, but I'm guessing that BBC could have portrayed them one way or another. You know, it was a gamble and it paid, and I'm sure they took precautions to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And it paid off, and kudos to them, because, you know, it was a really clever move, and I'm sure it was an integral part in them. Their ascent to the successes that they're enjoying now. Maybe it's a thing that they just, you're not allowed to, when the cool kids do something, you don't question it, but, you know, maybe we're not as internet cool as some. We run, you know, 30 to 40 successful events a year, which I think for an indie promotions actually makes us one of the bigger ones out there, but we're not internet cool per se. So maybe it's easier for everybody to jump on the bandwagon and start critiquing it, and some people just want to whinge about stuff, you know.
And there's definitely a lot of that in British wrestling, like I've noticed, because I work for TNT, which we've only been around for a year or so. We're still trying to find our feet, and we're really trying to like carve our own niche in the Liverpool market. But then I work for Fight Club Pro have been around for 7 years, and they're one of the best kept secrets in British wrestling for a long time, and it's only really recently that they started to get more eyes on them. Yet, like the likes of PCW, and because they focus on imports and things like that, they seem to become an overnight success. Yet you see people more making dodgy comments about the small guys, like the likes of Fight Club Pro, then being too afraid to say anything about PCW because they're afraid of repercussions of not being able to use the guys that they bring over. And that's an element which has always wound me up.
If we weren't, say this for any promotion that doesn't have internet traction, so to speak, if that promotion wasn't a good product, they wouldn't be selling out venues, they wouldn't be having fans come time and time again, you know, unless they're, I mean, our tickets are 13 general admission, 11 concession, 37 family. They're not the expensive gold front row and all that kind of stuff that you have to kind of move on to if you're looking at imports, but in terms of a night out for the family, it's not cheap. You know, so people wouldn't be paying those prices if it was a bad product. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in the same shoes as me, whether they run as many events or not, I don't know. But like you say, there could be a local product that's doing really well in that venue and that is making money, and that people are coming back and paying to see that night of wrestling. That's a success.
Yeah.
The localized success. They've chosen to stay in one venue, or they're starting out. But if they're getting repeat business, they're making money, it's successful. It's just a different business model than bringing in all the imports and you know, making the money off the back of the autograph signings and stuff. I can't comment too much about it because it's not my business model. I'm not experienced enough to know, but it's, you know, it's a different business model.
So before we kind of finish off on this, is there any last things you want to say? And also, can you give the details of when it's on TV and where so folk know where to find it?
Yeah, it's Judge Rinder, the case between the World Wide Wrestling League and the suspended Yuen G. Mackey will air this Friday at 2 p.m. on ITV from Judge Rinder's courtroom. So please check it out. Hopefully, after I've gone out and said how much I trust ITV and how they treat us really well, they don't completely butcher us in the edit. But if they do, I can assure you that I did everything I could to kind of prevent it. And they can't put words in our mouth anyway. They can tweak how the order in which they're said and stuff like that. So, I think it should be good. I've got every confidence. There might be one or two bits that I think, wish they'd not edited it that way, but that's the risk you take.
At
the
end of
the day, the feedback so far on just the fact that, you know, our fans are getting to see Yuen G. Mackey, who they know, and me going out there on TV, and it's people that they've seen wrestle live. They're really excited about it. We've had a lot of really good feedback. Can I close with a little anecdote?
Yes.
I've been in a similar position to this before.
Right, okay.
Give it as a really short story. One of our trainees' parents sort of fancy themselves as like reality TV stars. I'm not going to say anything bad or indifferent about them. But, they were always nice enough to us. And we were approached by a TV company saying that they were filming a documentary on them, and could they film them coming to one of our shows and introducing one of the wrestlers?
Right.
Brilliant. Okay, it's a national, it's Channel 5, they told me. Mm-hmm. Great. That sounds good to me. They turned up. They wanted to mic our referees, which not happy. Right.
Okay.
don't think about doing that. No. They wanted to put a camera. They came into the dressing rooms with a camera, turned them around, sent them on their way. It was very controlled, as I did this time. I did everything I could to protect us. And they didn't get anything that they shouldn't have filmed.
Yeah.
Turns out they were filming for Benefits Britain. And they obviously knew that at the time. And I was lied to. I have emails proving that I wasn't lied to. I just wasn't told the truth. You know, there's a difference in that. I didn't say, can you confirm this won't be Benefits Britain you're filming for? They just told me they're filming for Channel 5. They're not sure what they're doing with it yet. I've got not a leg to stand on. And to be honest, I wasn't upset by it. The only thing I was upset by is some of the wrestlers were upset at appearing on the show because they, you know, they felt they'd been lied to. They felt, well, it was obviously for Benefits Britain. Why weren't we told? Blah, 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 blah. And a lot of the same stuff started happening again. I'm so regretful that people felt that they were lied to. And I assured everybody the actual true story that, you know, I signed off on it based on it being on Channel 5. I didn't think for a second that, you know, as long as we controlled what they filmed, it would be fine.
Yeah.
And I'm genuinely sorry that people were upset about where that footage ended up. And I wish I could have turned the clock back and let people know it was Benefits Britain. Mm. Yeah. I would have still chosen to be featured on it, but I would have respected the wrestlers that didn't want to. I mean, they weren't saying that I was on Benefits or the wrestlers were on Benefits.
No.
We were just in the background. It was a scene. We were destroying the business, dragging the business through the mud.
Oh, God.
All the same comments.
Right, okay. So hopefully this one can paint itself in a better way.
Well, this is my point. It was filmed at the Brunton Hall in Musselburgh. 300-odd people were. As I mentioned at the top of the show,
yes,
we came back to the Brunton Hall this year, sold out.
Right. So
just saying. Just saying. Maybe it wasn't such a bad decision to go and sign that agreement to let them use that footage.
Well, if you look at the likes of when Pete Dunne was on People Like Us not so long ago, and then you've had like Davey Blaze appear on dating programs, and
he's one of the cool kids, though.
Oh, that's it. Like, Pete Dunne, though, at the time, wasn't. It's only really 2016 where Pete Dunne has become a big name in British wrestling, and they got accused of all sorts as well because they were going out and looking for fabrics to make gear out of and stuff like that. It's like following the day in the life of someone who happens to be a professional wrestler. And that wound me up when they got negative stick for that because it's still a job, and the people dedicate a lot of time and effort and their own health and well-being to do it. And when you think that program came out in 2014-ish, and this year alone where Pete's broken out, so he's put in not just the time leading up to that program, but then 2 years since of hard graft to get to where he is. Yeah, he was exposing wrestling And there was footage backstage of like people setting up merch stalls and things like that. Like, well, what do you expect? How do you think these things just appear?
We were showing the public how we lay out merchandise.
Yeah, exactly. And all this, it's like, okay, so people just snap the fingers and then
a business
happens. It's yeah. So I can definitely understand your frustration on a lot of points when it comes to the negativity.
Life goes on, though, eh?
Definitely.
So, Mike, what's going on with Wrestling Showdown?
Well, we've recently hit our 2-year anniversary of doing Wrestling Showdown. 2 years ago, we set up www.w3lnetwork.com. Don't know why I read the first three W's. W3LNetwork.com, easy to remember for people. It just redirects to our YouTube channel, and every week there is a different match from one of our live events. And it's all kind of in order, you know, leading up to our big shows and stuff, our big events and stuff like that. We've got had all the sort of top names that we bring in, like Joey Legend. We've got several W3L Heavyweight Championship defenses on the show over the past couple of years. Women's title matches, tag team title matches, all that kind of stuff. Every week there's a different match. We fill you in on all the news and happenings. It's hosted by the Wizard, W3L announcer. He keeps people up to date with what's going on, where they can see us live. And it's generally quite well received. It's a lot of work for us to put the show out every week.
Yep.
2 years of that work, in fact. And this past week we released our Championship Showdown special, which has got the heavyweight title on the line, the tag team championship on the line, and the women's championship on the line, all in one bumper episode of Wrestling Showdown.
Excellent.
In fact, it's so bumper, it's not even Wrestling Showdown, it's Championship Showdown this week. So please do check it out. W3LNetwork.com. It's a great sort of slice of W3L action, and kind of, if you've not seen us before, it'll give you a good idea of what to expect.
That sounds great, and I'll certainly be checking that out myself. What's for the next year for Wrestling Showdown? What kind of things have you got planned?
Wrestling Showdown, it kind of follows the action of W3L leading up to some of our bigger events. So obviously Nathan Reynolds is now the W3L Heavyweight Champion again. Joe Coffey has a championship match coming up, which will not be on Showdown. The only way to see that championship match is to be there live at Petticoat Bay on December 28th, that week in between Christmas and New Year when nothing happens. W3L is going to be live at Petticoat Bay Holiday Park, and Nathan will be defending the championship against Joe Coffey. Joey Legend will also be looking for a rematch at some point for that W3L championship. That might be something that crops up on Showdown. Sarah, 10 years after winning the W3L Women's Championship, is now once again the W3L Women's Champion.
Right.
She'll be defending that title. We've got the ongoing saga between the battling Owens twins. Leah Owens has been forced to wear a mask for most of this year after losing a match against her sister, which was the rights to the Owens face was on the line, which is brilliant.
Right.
Leah's keen to try and get that mask off at some point. Obviously, the contract had been signed, so maybe she's going to challenge her sister at some point. Lots of exciting stuff happening. It's been a really busy year. Lots of exciting, wacky things going on with all the crazy personalities involved. And it's going to be more of the same over the next year for Wrestling Showdown.
Sounds very good. Are you okay to stick around with us for a little while and chat some of the bigger world of wrestling?
Yeah, sure. I'll hang about for a bit longer. I'll have to shoot off at some stage because I need to look at the W3L Action Academy to check in our guys there. We've got a class going on tonight.
Excellent. Well, let's just move on with this show then.
This is Scotland's cheekiest wrestler here, Jason Reid, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
And we're going to move on to our email segment.
Was that Princess?
That was Princess, absolutely.
Here we go.
I've chatted to Princess. I've chatted to Joe E. Legend as well. You know, they've both been on this show. Maybe Princess wants to come back again sometime. We almost had him on a couple of weeks ago, but he had a few technical issues. We couldn't get him on at the call for whatever reason. But
he was probably at Nando's.
That's quite possible. I quite believe that. I've heard it's a favourite haunt of his.
Let's
move on to this email we've got, and it comes from Mr. Fourth Row, and he says, "Hello all, my topic this week is that I miss the days where we had more characters in wrestling, such as the Hurricane and the Ultimate Warrior. Is there still a place for characters in today's environment, or has the business just evolved beyond that? Any other thoughts about characters? Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Now, Mike, I'm going to come to you first, because I'm sure you'll have issues with the use of the word characters. I think he means more the more animated, cartoon-like.
We're talking about Persona here, right?
Yes.
I think Personas are still around. I've had a few issues with one recently, so I hear, if the scuttlebottom line's to be believed. I think wrestling at the moment is largely less, the characters slash personas are less cartoonish, is maybe the right word. But there's still wacky characters and whatnot kicking about.
If you look in the WWE alone, you've still got Kane, you've still got The Undertaker, just to pick two. Look at TNA, you've still got Abyss, you've got Crazy Steve. You know, there are still some of these very animated personalities still out there. You know, it's not like it's a dead thing at all. It's just that maybe it's not as high profile and over the top as it used to be.
I was just having to wrap my brain there as to who's about now.
Wyatt's a perfect example.
Wyatt's, yeah.
Absolutely. You could also say Chris Jericho is a bit of an exaggerated persona at the moment, with his whole list and it and all this other. This current evolution of Jericho is probably the most animated he's been since the WCW days.
That's very true. It's very true. Kai, what about you? In terms of current characters, as Mr. Favreau labels them, who would you see as a character at present?
Well, I think the first one that comes to mind for everyone is like the Bray Wyatt of the world. There are plenty out there. I mean, I think that the idea of personas does change throughout generations and throughout how the world and the culture of the world is at the time. Yeah. I mean, you look into the time when there was the Million Dollar Man, and you think that was the perfect time for that character in the years of Reagan and Bush, and like we had Thatcher over here at the time, and how the politics of the world can influence it as well.
Yep.
And you can tell that this is actually coming from a chapter of my dissertation, which I but you see, it does affect. I think the world affects what characters are around at the time. And also the fact that we are living in a world now with 24-hour, 24/7 social media. And sometimes personas have to change and adapt with the resources that fans have available as well.
I'm going to throw another couple of obvious personas as well.
Can I mention one quickly, actually? That hasn't been brought up yet. Broken Matt Hardy.
That's exactly who I was about to say. Broken Matt Hardy, and of course Goldust as well.
Yeah, Broken Matt Hardy especially, because everything he does, whether it's social media, interviews, even shoot interviews that he's done recently, he's in that role.
Absolutely.
He speaks in that same accent.
Yeah, absolutely perfect example. Absolutely. I suppose, Mike, coming back to you, is it that... as a fan, we are less accepting of personas and characters, or is it just that it is the natural progression of things that we are seeing more quote-unquote human characters coming through to be able to get more justifiable and believable storylines,
Yeah, it's just how the genre's evolved with society, really. And there's everybody on WWE TV for the most part is still an over the top persona. I do watch the product, but not I don't retain the different gimmicks and stuff as well as I really used to. It is just an evolution of how the wrestling events have been presented over time, and what the people watching expect to see and what they want to see. You know, if there was suddenly a character that was more cartoonesque that became really, really popular, I'm sure there would be more characters similar to that evolve.
And one thing I just want to throw into this conversation as well is, if you want to see a lot more of these bigger personas, bigger characters, Lucha Underground is full of them. There are so many, I couldn't even dare try and count. The level of characterization, be it a Mil Muertes, for example, it's just such a focus of a lot of their content that they're doing. So if you like character-based wrestling, then Lucha Underground is obviously the right angle to go for you. I'm just going to finish off on this email with a very quick question around everyone is there a character that you missed that you loved seeing on television over the years that obviously is no longer around? And I'm going to start with PK.
Actually, I loved, obviously it can't happen now because unfortunately the actor, the performer who portrayed the character has passed away, but the original evil clown Doink, I absolutely loved. That theme music was just so creepy. And as a child, I hated him, but then as you got older and you can really appreciate it, it was just absolutely brilliant.
Okay, Kai, what about you?
Oh gosh, this is such a tough question. Because you start to think that there are so many characters in wrestling, and then you can't think of a single one. Oh gosh, because a lot of the characters that I grew up watching are still around today. You know, that I remember being young and seeing like the Canes of the world, where you'd see the just. Such a massive, massive guy, and he's been able to change up his character so much as well. He was always one that stood out to me when I was a kid.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in my guilty pleasure. I'm going to throw in the Boogeyman.
Oh, yes.
For all his faults, he was a great character. Mike, what about you?
Do you know one that just came to mind there? Rico.
Yep.
I thought it was really, really good at what he did. I was
absolutely.
I know he was a bit older when he debuted. But I thought he was a phenomenal performer in that role.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. So, Mr. Forfro, thanks for saying that and really appreciate that. Keep the emails coming. If anybody else wants to email us, please do. EuroUppercut@gmail.com. Of course, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. And, of course, you can get us on Twitter @TheEUPod.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a Honky Tonk Man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News.
Welcome to this week's Not So Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. After a great showing at TakeOver Toronto, it appears Mickie James has been offered a new contract to join the main WWE roster, according to a report from the Pro Wrestling Sheet. It's unknown at this stage whether she will be on the Raw or SmackDown Live brand, but watch this space. I think she'd be good for either roster, and I'm curious to see where she'll end up. Shelly Martinez, known to WWE fans as Ariel, the valet of Kevin Thorne in ECW, and also in TNA as Salinas, the valet to LAX, announced on Facebook that September 17th's Freak Show Wrestling event at the Fremont County Club in Las Vegas will be her final event before retiring. I am shocked and saddened by this news. Said no one ever. WWE has confirmed to F4WOnline.com that Hall of Famers Lita and Jerry Lawler have been removed from regular weekly programming on WWE. The two were pulled from the Raw pre-show beginning this week. The pre-show was also cut down to 10 minutes from 30 minutes. The new Raw pre-show hosts are Charlie Caruso and Booker T. And a similar change is expected for the SmackDown pre-shows. Both Lawler and Lita are still loosely affiliated with the company and may be brought back to TV on the network for special occasions. And that's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. WWE Network has two new collections going live this week, according to WWE Network News. One is on the Matches of the Year for 2016, and the other is on WWE Hall of Famers Lita and Trish Stratus. And finally, celebrating birthdays this week, Enzo Amore turns 31.
How you doing?
Dean Ambrose is 32.
How you doing?
James Ellsworth is 33.
How you doing?
And Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle is 49.
How you doing?
And that's it for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Thank you very much from our New Zealand correspondent there, GBL. And there's some very quick things I want to touch on in the news, gentlemen. I'm going to come to Mike first. Lita and Lawler being taken away from pre-shows on WWE TV. Will we notice? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Is Lawler moving towards retirement in any way? What are your thoughts?
It's a real shame to take Jerry Lawler off TV. That's probably because I grew up watching him.
Yeah.
I've not seen what Lita's role has been. Obviously, she made a huge impact in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think she was around till the mid 2000s, was she not? But I've not seen what her current role was, so I couldn't comment. But I think it's a real shame that they've taken Lawler off TV after so long. There's obviously a reason for it, but it's a sad day, end of an era.
Absolutely, and they do say that there is a possibility to be brought back for specials, etc. So I hope Lawler isn't totally forgotten about and just left by the wayside. So we'll see how they play that out going forward. Kai, going to come to you. Mickey James getting a contract, no surprise to me, really. Your thoughts?
No, it's no surprise, but I'm really glad that it seems to be happening. It was a great match between her and Asuka at NXT, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with her now she's back.
Excellent. And I'm going to come to you last, PK. Shelley Martinez retiring. A great loss for anybody?
She was a great valet, not so good wrestler as her as her most recent match that got lampooned on Botchamania for very good reason, we'll attest to.
So I think we'll leave that there, shall we?
That was as diplomatic as I could have put it.
Yeah, I think that was very well constructed.
If it's the one that I'm remembering, she was really hot, was she not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, just checking. I remember.
her looks were never the issue.
Okay. I can't remember seeing her work.
No. And probably if you did, you'd be tucking it to the back of your mind anyway.
I remember her entrance. She used to do the gimmick, the vampire thing. She'd hang upside down. Yeah,
that's the one.
It was a cool entrance.
It certainly was. And that's one of the things that she should be remembered for, not her matches. But yeah, I think that's enough on the news. Let's just get on chatting about TLC. Took place on Sunday night, and another fun pay-per-view, this time from the SmackDown roster. It took place at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. What I will quickly do, guys, I'm just going to quickly run through the results, and then we'll chat about the highlights of the event. And then towards the end of this conversation, we'll quickly run through the pick sheet that we do. So, pre-show, we had a huge, enormous, ridiculous 10-man tag team match with the Hype Bros, American Alpha, and Apollo Crews facing the Vaudevillains, Ascension, and Kurt Hawkins. Hype Bros, American Alpha, Apollo Crews taking the win in a 12-minute match that won't be in one of this year's Match of the Year contenders, I doubt. Anyway, let's go to the main card. We've got the Wyatt family, in this case Bray and Randy Orton, facing against Slater and Rhino for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. And we've got a title change with the Wyatt family taking the titles. And interestingly enough, both of them being carried out by Luke Harper. We've got a women's match. We've got Nikki Bella, Carmella in a no DQ match. And it's a win for Nikki Bella. We then go into the Miz Defenders Intercontinental Championship match. Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match against Dolph Ziggler, and it's a retain for Miz. Baron Corbin faces Kalisto in a chairs match. No surprise, really, that Baron Corbin takes the win, although I really think Kalisto needed that win, but hey-ho, it is what it is. From there, we've got a tables match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch defends against Alexa Bliss. And hot shock horror, Alexa Bliss takes the title away from Becky. And that takes us on, finally, to the tables, lads, and chairs match for the WWE World Championship. AJ Styles defending against Dean Ambrose. And, well, it's a surprise of the night as James Ellsworth comes down and costs Dean Ambrose the title. AJ Styles retained. So, let's have a look back at highlights from the event. And I'm going to come to PK first. Your favourite match of the night?
It's very close between the ladder and the TLC. I'll give it to the TLC, though. The stupid Ellsworth ending, notwithstanding, I wouldn't mind. I put a side bet on it and I got it right, so I should be happy about it. But the fact that he's one of those central characters on SmackDown is getting really annoying at the moment. But AJ just cemented himself once again as the MVP of the WWE this year since coming in at the Rumble. Ambrose did enough that he wasn't completely outshone, but like that springboard 450 to the floor through the table, absolute thing of beauty. and the backflip into the reverse DDT off the ring apron just looked absolutely picture perfect as
absolutely.
I know people were skeptical about AJ, and then obviously his initial little feud with Jericho was okay. It wasn't mind blowing, but it was okay. Everything he's done since, though, he's just knocked out the park.
I suppose, I mean, for me back then, it was really just him getting his feeling of the company, getting, you know, his self adjusted to how the WWE way of things goes, and, you know, settling himself in. So that's done. Obviously, Chris Jericho doing his usual janitorial duties, making sure everything goes according to plan. So that had its purpose. But as you say, since then, everything's been fantastic. It's been great to watch the growth of AJ Styles. He's really shining, and I can't wait to see what we get from him in 2017. On the Ellsworth thing, it's quite interesting how polarizing he's become, because obviously you've got yourself really getting sick of seeing him on SmackDown in that central role. But meanwhile, over on the Spanish announce table, right here on the Trending Topics Network, they love him. They absolutely love him. I think he's great.
I was really enjoying it at first. But then he should not have three wins over the WWE champion for one. One fluke win, fair enough. But three, no. And it's just the fact that he's been so central to SmackDown. Yeah. And like, it's you suppose the AJ is your crown jewel on that show. Yeah. And The Miz, they're your two big crown jewels that people need to be watching that show for. Not a guy who has, don't get me wrong, he's done well. He's maximised that opportunity that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. He's starting to really, stay as welcome now, from my point of view.
I would say that I also felt that on Talking Smack after TLC, that he actually came across a lot better on the mic than he has done. He felt a lot more natural. He seems to be relaxing more into the role. So a bit of credit to him on that level. He seems to be growing into the character a bit more.
Yeah, I enjoyed his promo and the fact that he said, like, I'll give Dean the first shot when I win win the title. And like, he's then one thing I will say, Talking Smack in sitting since it started really has been a real highlight of the week of wrestling, just because everyone seems to go on there and just cut genuinely good promos because they can be a bit more relaxed. Like Baron Corbin's was great after after TLC, and obviously then you've got The Miz and Bryan getting to their thing, which is again a highlight of SmackDown. And the fact that Miz started using Bryan's moves, even doing the run and drop kick into the corner TLC. So there's a lot of stuff on SmackDown to like. It's just you shouldn't be centralizing your product around an indie jobber.
Okay, fair enough. Going to come to Mike. Did you see TLC? Have you caught up with anything that's been going on at all?
Do you know what? I saw a little bit of it, but not really enough to comment. I'm going to bow out just now because I've got to go to the Action Academy. But what I will say that ties into what we were talking about earlier on, it's rare. Like, I think when you've watched so much wrestling and obviously been in the business, it's quite rare that my head kind of turns and something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. We were talking about Persona, the girl that was working with Becky.
Alexa Bliss.
There's something about her persona slash character that I think is working. It seems different. I just saw a few of her promos and stuff, liked it. Something different.
Yeah, she's really starting to really come into her own as well. Something's really progressed from her NXT move transition over to the main roster level, and she's really grown into that really well. And her position, so I was going to say, in 6 months, the world's her oyster. This title is a good guinea pig opportunity for her to see how she really, you know, develops and grows from that. Mike, before you go, just let anybody know where they can find you on social media, etc.
They can follow the Worldwide Wrestling League on Twitter at W3L Wrestling, Facebook at W3L Wrestling. Myself, I do have a Facebook that I accept public requests from, Mike Musso on Facebook. Twitter is at Mike Musso W3L. Of course, you've got the W3L website that links everything on there, W3LWrestling.com. And thanks very much for having me, guys. Thanks for the platform to discuss our trials and tribulations that we've gone through over the past week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this all pans out. So I'd say good luck for it, but it has been a quite a bit. Hopefully you get all the issues dealt with appropriately and those naysayers adjust their mindset on the whole thing.
hopefully it's all for the best.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. Kai, I'm going to come to you. TLC, your highlight.
Well, it's funny that my favourite match of the night was the only match that I got that I predicted wrong. Because I predicted that Dolph Ziggler would be walking away with the Intercontinental Championship. And not only was it a great match, but I had a bit of an experience while watching it because my flatmate and co-presenter of Squabblebox on Siren FM and right here on the Trending Topics Network decided to watch it with me.
All right.
I hooked up the Xbox to the big new HD smart TV we've got in this front room. Please don't come and rob us. And we decided, she came in and she goes, I'm going to sit here and ruin this for you. And she sat through it and she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Love when that happens.
and sat there the entire way through going, but you didn't tell me that this was like funny and entertaining. I was like, well, it is sort of like, I'm not sitting there going, well, it's going to be laugh out loud hilarious, but she said she found loads of it quite funny when they were doing the sort of I think it was her way of saying that she was entertained by it, but that's what I'm going with. But no, she said that she didn't realize that these sort of matches were very, very technical and story-driven, and I went, I've been trying to tell you this for like 4 years. It's not all blood and gore. Not everyone gets thrown off the top of a Hell in a Cell and has life-changing injuries. Yeah. But no, I really enjoyed it. It was a great match. The Miz's character, I think, is absolutely amazing. He's doing the best work of his career, and I think he's got amazing chemistry with Dolph Ziggler. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent. I have to say, I'm going to have to rewatch the ladder match because I was kind of keeping a corner of an eye on it as I was putting up the Christmas tree and missed a lot of the action. So I'm going to rewatch that. But certainly it sounded good. And I've heard good things about it from other people. So look forward to watching that.
To describe it, it reminded me more of one of the old school sort of ladder matches. Like a Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
It wasn't spot heavy. Like, right. I can sit there and I go, and same for the TLC match, to be honest. There were a couple of spots here and there, but it wasn't spot after spot after spot. And I think it really worked, especially for this ladder match.
One thing I genuinely really liked was the psychology in the match of both guys. Like, the Miz put the figure four while Dolph's legs were trapped in the ladder, which looked really cool as an image. And then Dolph, when he was climbing up the ladder for that very final push, wasn't even using his legs. He was just using his arms to climb the ladder because his leg was that bad. Then the Miz obviously twigged his knee and he was hopping up the ladder on one leg as well. And it was absolutely spot on from a storytelling point of view.
Just there's been quite a lot of constructive use of, I'm going to say furnishings for submission holds. If you look at Sasha and Charlotte's match on Raw, mm-hmm. if you look at Becky and Alexa Bliss's match at TLC, and as you're saying there with Dolph and Miz, lots of constructive use of the furnishings on these submission moves. And I'm a bit concerned it's a bit too much all at one time, though. I'd rather see a bit more spacing out of them, because otherwise you start to become a bit accustomed to it and expect it.
I think that's the problem with these themed pay-per-views, though, to be honest. Like, the fact that the drama that went into the match that Dolph and Miz had when Dolph's career was on the line was a brilliant way to wrap up that feud and keep them away for a while. But then it gets to this pay-per-view and they realise they've got to have a chairs match, they've got to have a ladder match, they've got to have a table match, they've got to have a TLC. So let's just throw them in a ladder match because they've got chemistry. And there's certain elements of booking yourselves into a bit of a corner and then going, actually, crap, we need to put this show on. One thing I will say as well, genuinely pleasant surprise, I really enjoyed the match.
I was going to say about the chairs match as well, because one of the things I've always had a criticism about the chairs matches is normally the stipulation really is anything goes and they don't really focus on just chairs. Whereas this time, it really was about the chairs.
Yeah, and I thought Kalisto, even in defeat, looked really strong, and the fact that he kicked out of so much of that big offense and was starting to really frustrate Corbin. But yeah, it was a genuinely really entertaining match, and we were saying last week that that's one that we weren't really looking forward to that much.
Absolutely, absolutely, I totally agree. I enjoyed the Wyatt's match a lot more than I thought it was going to, so that's a bonus. Nikki Bella, Carmella was all right. It was watchable, and no great loss if you missed it. But
fire extinguisher went on for far too long at the end.
Yeah, totally agree. Far too long.
But I loved the finish to the tag. Before we move on from that too far,
yes,
because like that Spider Walker Braze, it's stupid, but as a distraction to then lead into an RKO, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fire extinguisher was just stupid. A little quick spray, but not like half a can.
Yeah. Right. So I'm just going to quickly run through the pick sheet, and then we can move on and finish up on this show. So Kalisto, Baron Corbin, most folks saying Corbin with a couple of bets. Katie with a +5, DRG +5, Old School +3. The only Kalistos were yourself, PK, me, Adam, AA, and Biohazard. Is what it is. Let's move on. Nikki Bella, Carmella. It's fairly split here. Getting it wrong with Carmella. Heavy set with a +5. Biohazard, AA, Carp, Kata, myself, Adam, you again, PK, and Yalmar. Which means Kiwi, Kai, GBL, Old School with a +3, DRG with a +5, Mop, and Katie get it right. Two in a row for Kai so far.
Well, hey.
I know we've got the tag title match right, at least.
Well, that's where we're going next, because everybody got the tag title match except me. And even when I was listening back to the show from last week, I was like, why did I say that? It just doesn't make sense.
You went on a bit of a... Because I sat there when you were... I'm sure you heard this when you were listening back, and yes. I said, you know what, I'm going to put +5 on this. And you were going, oh, well, we'll see this time. We'll see.
It was just, as soon as I rethought it, I was like, no, it just doesn't logically work if they keep it at this point. Where's it going if you do that? The Wyatts have got, you know, they've already got Orton in the mix. What happens if you give them the tag team titles? It starts to become more intriguing. It starts to become an interesting story. Where's this going to go? What's going to happen? Who's going to be able to take those titles from them?
On the topic that you mentioned briefly earlier about Luke Harper grabbing having both of the belts on his shoulder, it's seeming like, and the rumours that are flying around over the last few days, is that they are going to go with the Freebird rule.
Right.
Which is interesting, because that means now both tag titles are under Freebird rule. But the reason behind it is because Orton is currently on a lighter schedule, doing as many live events, which means that the tag titles can then be defended by Bray and Harper at the live event.
Yeah, kind of makes sense. So just quickly run through the bets on this one. I'll try again. Kiwi with the +5, Adam +5, Kai +5, Kata +5, Old School +2, DRG +5, and Katie +5. Lots of points picked up there across the board. Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, most folk going for Lynch, myself +4, Cart +5, Old School +3, Biohazard +5, Heavy Set +5, but all getting it wrong. So only Adam, Kai, Kata, AA, and Katie getting it right with Alexa Bliss. Nobody putting bets on it. That takes us to the Intercontinental Championship match, Miz and Ziggler. Only three people picked Ziggler, being Katie, DRG, and Kai. Everybody else going for Miz. Lots of bets on here as well. Biohazard +5, Old School +3, Cart +5, Kata +5, Me +5, GBL +5, Adam +5, Kiwi +5, PK +3. And an interesting bet on this one. You know, Mark put a +5 on some outside interference in that match. So a loss of 5 points for Yalmar on that. I'm getting a bit of a sore throat. I'm going to have to start moving this on a bit quicker. Into the TLC match, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, and everybody said Styles except DRG. And again, lots of points on the table here. Yalmar +5, PK +3, Kiwi +5, Adam +5, Kai +5, Me +3, Kata +5, Kart +5, Old School +1, AA +5, Biohazard plus 5, Katie plus 5, Heavyset plus 5. Two additional bets, PK due to Ellsworth's involvement, Styles retained plus 2, bingo, couldn't be more accurate. GBL, Ellsworth gets involved in the main event plus 3. So lots of points picked up across the board. Now, how that affects things is total points for the event. Heavyset got a minus 1. I'm trying to do this in reverse order. Mop got a plus 4. Yalmar got a plus 4. I got plus 6. Biohazard plus 8. AA plus 9. Cart plus 9. Then we go to PK plus 11. GBL plus 13. Old School plus 14. Kai plus 15. DRG plus 18, which gives Adam a plus 19, and both Kiwi and Katie picking up plus, oh, and Kata, sorry, picking up plus 20 each. And what that does, it takes us from being 98 points behind the WrestleCast overall to being 71 behind. So a little bit of a catch up for them between now and WrestleMania. We've still got a ways to go. It's interesting, but Oscar still holding at the top with Kai in second place by 21 points. Kai, do you think you're going to catch up quite soon?
I need him to fuck up. That was my first pay-per-view in since we started doing this that I haven't bet all 15 points. Right. And that wasn't out of any tactical judgment. That was literally, I thought I was going to have time to add an extra plus 5 later in the week, but forgot. But I might have ended up putting it on Ziggler, so I'm quite glad that I didn't in the end.
Yeah, I'd held off on a couple of points.
I wish I'd have put plus 5 on Alexa Bliss, because I was quite certain about that last week.
I had 3 points that I hadn't used, and I was thinking about where I could use them later, and I just never came up with anything, so I just left it.
Yeah, be honest.
Anyway.
Your picks, it was best.
Overall feelings on TLC, PK?
I really enjoyed the show. There wasn't a bad match on it. Yeah, the Nikki and Carmella was forgettable, but it wasn't a bad
match, yeah.
The only thing that I will say was the crowd were dead, apart from...
relatively flat.
Especially since it's Dallas, you'd expect them to have a bigger reaction, but that did spoil a few of the matches in it, because you didn't get the reactions that they deserved, but they were well and truly awake by the main event, and they reacted for everything. Styles and Ambrose had the meet on the palm of their hands.
One thing that I wanted to say is I want the WWE to split the Talking Smack after the event off the pay-per-view on the network, because it just confuses you when you're sitting there with about an hour and 5 or an hour and 10 minutes to go and you've only got the main event left.
Yeah.
It's just misleading. So I'd prefer them to split that off. Anyway, Kai, your overall feelings?
I've got to completely agree with PK there. I really, really enjoyed the event. It was the first time that I'd not watched an event live, or tried to watch an event live without falling asleep in a long time. I ended up not watching it till Tuesday night, and I didn't get any spoilers, so I was happy with that. But I enjoyed it. I thought that the crowd were a little bit on the shitter side, and I thought they were the same on Raw, to be honest. I just didn't think the crowd... I was there, and I heard that as soon as you heard Seth Rollins calling out Triple H, I was there going, please don't come out, because this crowd do not deserve that moment.
Maybe what they needed to put a rocket up their arse.
Yeah, I'm only just sat there going, I can't believe that that crowd got a Zayn versus Owens match. They didn't deserve it.
As I say, I quite enjoyed it as well, but I do want to rewatch the ladder match properly so I can actually watch it. That'd be good. I'll try and do that over the next couple of days. But it's time to move on with the show.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
I'm going to go on to final thoughts, and as my throat's really starting to get short, I'm just going to skip mine and go straight to PK.
Okay, yeah, final thoughts from this week. A couple of exciting news on the promotions that I do work for. TNT Extreme Wrestling, obviously, as I said, we're coming back in February, February 24th. And the venue has now officially been announced. We're coming from the O2 Academy in Liverpool, which is a massive jump for us. And I'm really excited. It's my favourite venues to go see rock and punk gigs in, so to call wrestling in there is going to be an absolute dream. If we get 100 people saying that they are going to attend on the Facebook page, we're going to start announcing matches. So some of these matches are really exciting. So get onto the Facebook page, Merseyside Massacre 2017, and give it a you're going, and we'll start getting those match announcements rolling forward. Fight Club Pro have also announced all their dates for next year, and they're offering a season ticket for people who are interested. And there's a couple of levels of season ticket. There's a season ticket that covers the Wolverhampton shows and the shows in Manchester and London. It's exciting that Fight Club Pro are going to go into London for the first time next year. Mm. And then there's also a season ticket just for the Friday shows in Wolverhampton. That one, for a standing season ticket, is £100, which gives you a 25% saving on buying individual tickets. That's available on fightclubpro.bigcartel.com. You can also pre-order the Infinity 2016 DVD, highly recommended, or look out for it on the on-demand service, which is Fight Club Pro, vimeo.com/Fight Club Pro. It'll be £4 when it hits Vimeo, normally about a week or so after the DVD start shipping.
Excellent. Is that you?
That's me.
Excellent. Thank you for those. Kai?
Well, I'm just going to continue by plugging my local promotion, Fight Factory Wrestling UK, as they have a show coming up on December the 18th, which is probably the greatest name for a Christmas show ever. I want to preface this by saying it is Fight Factory Wrestling presents Christmas, brackets, insert generic wrestling Xmas show name here, close brackets. Yes, this event will be taking place at the Birchwood Leisure Centre, just outside of the city centre of Lincoln, on Sunday the 18th of December. Doors open at 1:30 p.m, start at 2 p.m. It's going to be a great family fun afternoon out to spend the final Sunday afternoon before Christmas Day. Lots going on down there at the moment, since their big event at the Engine Shed here in Lincoln, which was the first over 18 show with lots and lots of great reactions from fans. Dutch has turned on basically everyone. He turned on Miss Rebecca and hit a running power slam on his wife at the last event. And
that sounds like divorce proceedings to me.
Yeah, the agency have got involved and have taken over the company. They now have full control, and it's going to be a really, really fun event. So get down, and wherever you are in the country, whether it be in Lincoln or beyond, support your local independent promotions.
Yeah, of course. And also, if you're up at this neck of the woods, don't forget to check out W3L's event at Pettaker Bay on 28th of December. So do check that out as well. Oh, my throat is really starting to feel strange. So let's start rounding off and tell people where they can find you, PK.
Find me on Twitter, PK_1UP. Hopefully, if I can get my PC fixed, we will be recording an episode of 1UP Power Up soon. But since my second hard drive has now failed, I don't know what the likelihood of that is, I'll be 100% honest. But find me on Twitter. More than happy to answer any questions regarding TNT or Fight Club Pro. Or if for what capacity I can. I help out at Fight Club Pro, but obviously I can be quite helpful when it comes to TNT for people who are interested in making the trip to Liverpool in February.
Excellent. Kai, over to you.
You can find me on Twitter at Kai J Valentine. My radio show is Squabble Box on Siren 107.3 FM, 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, and Legends on Siren FM, 10 p.m. every Monday night. If you want to find out the Christmas schedule, go to sirenonline.co.uk. I don't know a day that I'm not on air over Christmas. So so if you tune in, I'll probably be on. But yeah, see you guys next week.
Taking over. Right, okay, so next week, now Kai, if I'm getting this right in my head, you're hosting next week, because I can't do next week.
Am I hosting next week?
Yeah, we talked about it weeks ago.
Well, I'm on tour, so
we'll chat about this off here.
Yeah.
Right, on that note, you can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. We'll see what's happening next week. We'll let you know. Pay attention to our Twitter account for details as the week goes by at EU Pod. Don't forget to email the show, europeuppercut@gmail.com. Get us on Facebook, send us a message, follow us, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. And of course, follow us on Twitter @EUpod. Drop us a message there as well. Don't forget to check out all the shows right here on the Trending Topics Network. Blue Chat, Squabble Box, the Rasslecast, Tuss Experience, CFL Easy Picks, NFL Easy Picks, Eurovision Showcase, What's on Fight, Spanish Announce Table, Legends with Kai Valentine, the One Up Club Heads Up, all being inside Anything Goes. And also check out our website, trendingtopicsnetwork.com. So we'll see what happens next week for episode 115 as we head towards WWE Roadblock. But for now, we're out of here. The living legend has now almost lost his voice and is leaving the building.